Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're reading the first six verses. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. This is how it reads. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And amen. Keep your Bible handy, please, just to check what I'm saying. We started last Sunday a series entitled The Christian Walk Made Easy. And some of you rolled your eyes at that. Of course, it's not easy. It's easy in the sense that all we need to do is to apply the walk of faith that we observe in this chapter. People who live by faith, who have given us their example, and all we have to do is apply it to our lives. That's the hard bit. But it should be easy. They've given us their example to apply to our daily lives. Last time, we simply, by way of introduction to the series, looked at the definition of faith. We saw that it was substance, something solid to stand on. It was evidence, and it was understanding. I spent a lot of time this week, more time than I should have, I think, on verse 6. And looking at that little phrase, when we come to God, him that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I spent a lot of time on that little phrase, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Salvation is an act of believing faith. It's not adopting a religious stance. It's not adopting a religious denomination. It is not deciding on a lifestyle choice. It is the act of believing faith. Those who come to God must believe that he is. I could preach a sermon on that this morning. We need to believe that he is able to succor. Hebrews 2:18. He's able to succor and comfort. Hebrews 5 and 7. He is able to save from death. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 11:19. He's able to raise the dead. Jude 24. He's able to keep you from falling. James 1:21. He's able to save souls. Those who cometh to God must believe that he is. He is able. Dear friend, our meeting this morning, no matter who you are or what you are, no matter the circumstances of life, I want you to know that the one that we preach from this pulpit, the one that we love, the one that we exalt, he is and he is able. Those who come to God must believe that he is. But I want to leave that aside and come to the first character of faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we discover right at the start of this series that faith affects how you give to God. Doesn't it? By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And so, this morning, what I want to look at is how faith affects how we give to God. But before that, just some observations on our way through. First of all, notice that the first names on this list of the faithful is not Adam and Eve. I thought whenever we came to Hebrews 11 that the first name would have been Adam or Eve. But they're missing. Adam and Eve had walked with God in the cool of the day in Eden's garden. Adam and Eve had experienced a communion with God that was unique and personal and precious. But it would appear that even though they knew that intimacy in the garden, and even though they knew what it was for God to walk with them, it would appear that they did not walk by faith. We never read of Adam and Eve repenting of their sin. We never read of any brokenness over what happened in the garden. We never read of a longing to regain something of that intimacy. And maybe I'm speaking to someone in church this morning, and you once walked the walk of faith. And you once walked well. And you remember days of spiritual closeness and spiritual blessing. But something happened. Maybe sin, maybe rebellion, maybe it caught you out. And today you wouldn't appear on the list of the faithful. And I find myself in the study saying, Lawrence, would you appear on the list of those that are faithful? Or would you be an Adam and Eve that should have been there, but wasn't there? Oh, that we all might quote the psalmist this morning, is it Psalm 51? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Huh? And maybe before I get into my message, that's what's for you this morning. That's the message that God has given to you. You're an Adam or an Eve. You once walked well. You knew that intimacy. But it's gone like the snow off the dike. We have a hymn in our hymn book. It's a 618 written by Dave Bryant. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Notice something else. We have two boys in this early story of Cain and Abel. Two boys brought up in the same family. And we find that one is faithful to God while the other rebels and does his own thing. Isn't that right? Two boys in the same family. Both heard about God. Both heard about the Garden of Eden. Both heard about the subtlety of the serpent. Both heard about the tragedy that happened. Both heard about how they were removed from the garden. They heard it, but one believes and one rebels. One trusts and one ends up being the first murderer in the very first family. There's a departure, isn't it? Dear parent, can I say to you this morning, there is no guarantee that your child will not rebel. There's no guarantee that your child won't break your heart. Our first parents knew what it was to have sleepless nights worried about their wayward son, Cain. They knew what it was to have worried hours of raising a family. And I'm sure they sat across the table and Eve said, Adam, where did we go wrong? What brought them up both the same? They sat on our lap. We taught them the things of God. Where did we go wrong with Cain? Didn't do anything wrong. It's just the sinfulness of the human heart. But I thought out in passing, We just highlight how our very first parents knew some of the trauma that we go through. Some of the worries. Even though both children were brought up exactly the same. But let's examine the walk of faith in the life of Abel. And we discover that faith makes a difference in how you give to God. I can tell a Christian's spiritual walk and how it is by the way they give. You see, whenever someone is walking close to the Lord, they love to give to God's work and God's house and God's people. They give of their wealth, they give of their time, they give of their talents. It's part of them. They love it. Whenever things are cold, they find other things to do. And other things to invest in and other things to occupy their time. Their attitude in giving to God says a lot about your faith. And someone far smarter than me once quoted, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." You see, a heart that loves, the expression of that is to give. To give of your time, to give of the talent, to give of the wealth, and to give because you love it. You cannot love without giving. As I looked at this passage, I discovered six aspects of Abel's giving to God. And I want to highlight them this morning just by way of starting our series. First of all then, notice please, he gave spiritually. You see, it says, by faith, Abel offered. This was not just a habit. This was not just a necessity. This was giving out of a heart that believed in God. You see, in contrast, Cain's giving of the fruit and the vegetables and the produce of the farm, that was not done in faith. He did not really believe in God. He didn't believe the stories of his parents. He did not trust God. He did not walk by faith. But Abel did. And his giving was spiritual. His giving was a spiritual exercise. Dear friend, this morning, can I say to you that as we give, we must give by faith. Now, the way we do things in this fellowship is the offering boxes are at the door. We don't examine them as you give. We don't watch. We don't keep a record. We don't know who gives what. We feel that that is a biblical approach. But please remember, even though nobody sees, even though nobody notices, it is a spiritual exercise. We do it by faith. We do it believing in God and believing in His work and believing in His church and believing in His people. We do it with a heart that believes. Abel gave spiritually. And as we give this morning of our talent and time, as we give of our wealth, it is an expression, it is practical evidence that we believe in and we trust in God. And as we give, we're saying, "Lord, here's my offering to you. You bless it and you use it." Of course you can walk out without giving. Of course you can come to church and not get involved. Of course you can. It says something about your faith. As we give, we acknowledge that all belongs to God and that we are merely stewards of it. And we witness that we believe in the church. We believe in its care of the flock. We believe in its support of mission. Giving is an act, a spiritual act of faith. Not only did Abel give spiritually, he gave biblically. Now, of course, Cain and Abel had no Bibles. But they did have the Word of God through their parents. And they had been taught how God had sacrificed a lamb to cover their parents' nakedness in the garden. and they understood the biblical truth. Maybe they wouldn't have put it in the same words and the same phrase that we have in the Bible, but they understood that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. They understood the biblical principle. God had made that sacrifice in the garden to cover the nakedness of their parents. They understood the principle. It was a biblical, godly principle. And when Abel came with his sacrifice, he was saying, Lord, accept the blood of this animal instead of my blood. Take this animal in payment of my sins. He gave biblically. Now, Cain saw no reason to be so narrow-minded. Cain said, well, sure, it's the heart that counts. Sure, God knows how I give, and He knows the amount of work went into producing the produce. He will see the heart, and it'll be acceptable. It'll be all right. We've got to move on from that narrow-mindedness. But His offering, no matter how sincere, no matter how heartfelt, was rejected by God. It did not fit the pattern laid down by God's word through His parents. Beloved, can I ask you, do we give biblically? Do we give proportionately according to how the Lord has prospered us? Do we give with joy and generosity? Do we treat it as a personal act of worship to God? Lord, I'm going to give my time. I could stay at home, but I'm going to give of my time because I love you so much. I'm going to give of my talent because I want to show you that I love you with all my heart. It's not just financial giving, of course. In all that we do, in all our service, in all our outreach, we must never veer from what we have in the Word of God. Never. We live by faith and we serve biblically. And in this fellowship, the elders have the duty of, no matter what we do, their job as elders is to scan the Word of God and make sure that it doesn't go outside the pages of this book. That's their calling. Abel gave spiritually. It was an act of worship. Abel gave biblically, a sacrifice. Just the same as the Lord had done in the garden to cover the sin and the nakedness of the parents. And that was covered and sent down by the parents, and they understood it, and that was explained to them. And so they gave biblically. Thirdly, they gave Abel gave significantly. He gave a lamb. Genesis 4 in the story tells us that it was a firstling of the flock. In Genesis 4 we see the type, the symbolism being set, which down the timeline of history would point to the Lamb of God, the Messiah. The picture was being set. Significantly. Did Abel understand Calvary? Did he understand the death of the Messiah, the Savior? Probably not. I would doubt it. But he does obey God. And by obeying God in faith, he underscores the significance of God's perfect Lamb and God's perfect sacrifice. Right from Genesis 4. He gave significantly. Fourthly, could I suggest to you, he gave expectantly. You see, listen to our verse. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He gave expectantly. As Abel laid the lamb on the altar, as the blood was shed, he had the inner witness, the inner confidence that communion was restored with God again. That sin had been removed, that he was on speaking terms with Jehovah once more. Oh, there's so much here, isn't there? As we sit in Bali Baptist, do you have that inner witness that things are right with God? Come on now, be honest. As you came to church this morning, and as you sang those opening hymns, do you have that sense that communion with God is real and meaningful? Do you have that sense that you're in speaking terms with God? You're not just here to please your parents or please your in-laws. Did you come to church this morning expectantly sensing that God would speak to your soul? As you give your time, your talent, your finance, do you do it with an expectant heart that believes in a spiritual return to your investment? Huh? All genuine giving to God done in faith has an impact. As you give to God, it will bless you. As you give to God, it will bless others. And amazingly, as you give, it brings joy to the heart of God in heaven. Abel proved that in Genesis chapter 4. He got an inner peace and assurance that all was well. I think you're with me so far. He gave spiritually. He gave by faith. He gave biblically. He obeyed the command through his parents. He gave significantly. He gave a lamb, setting the type that would bring the Messiah, the Lamb of God, into the world to die, the sacrifice, ultimately for the sin of the world. He gave expectantly, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, that all was dealt with. Number five, he gave not only spiritually and biblically and significantly and expectantly, he gave powerfully. He gave powerfully. He gave so powerfully that today, almost 6,000 years later, it is still speaking to us. That's powerful, isn't it? In fact, our verse says to us, he being dead, yet speaketh. I have a picture in my study of a pastor that I knew was my pastor in Belfast, Raymond McCool. Someone gave me a picture of him after he died. He took a massive coronary. We found him dead in his kitchen. And this picture has a picture of him, and over his head, he being dead yet speaketh. Every time I see it, I think of his ministry. I think of the impact he had on my life. And here Abel, giving to God by faith, he gave powerfully. 6,000 years later, we're still talking about it. 6,000 years later, we're still highlighting it. Powerful. It is amazing how giving to God can make an impact long after we're gone. Living for God, living by faith is difficult. Living for God, living by faith is costly, but I tell you, it is a powerful thing. A powerful thing. And I could spend time, I could speak of Samuel Rutherford of the 1600s, that Scottish pastor and theologian who left an imprint for God that we still remember today. I think of William Carey, the father of modern missions, missionary to India. And William Carey pioneered a sacrificial, faithful life for God. And we're still writing about it and talking about it today. I think of Amy Carmichael. I think of Eric Liddell of Chariots of Fire fame. I think of David Livingstone, I think of Jim Elliot, I think of George Mueller, I think of Mary Slessor, the Scottish missionary to Nigeria. I think of Gladys Aylward, who went to China. I think of Corrie Ten Boom. Who lived a walk of faith. And so powerful. It made an imprint not only in their generation, not only in their circumstances, but we still honor them and we still revere them. Powerful. Can I say to you this morning, young person, picking your subjects, live for God. Live for God. Listen to me. Your mom and dad want the best for you. And maybe they wouldn't want you to be a missionary. It's not paid well. You might have to go abroad. You might have to eat strange food. And maybe their grandchildren will be in the other end of the world. And they're saying, no, be a teacher. Be a scientist. Be something here. And sure, you can live for God. Listen. Put God first, young person. Put God at the center of all that you do. And blaze a trail of faith. And leave an imprint behind you. I don't know how long I'll be in this pulpit. But I do believe. Whenever I'm no longer standing here, within months, or if I'm being generous, within years, I'll not even be remembered. Pastor Hick? Pastor Kim? No. Don't remember. They'll fickle it. And I'll go home to my Savior. And he'll say, Lawrence, you could have blazed a trail. You could have pioneered a course. You could have stepped out of the boat. You could have done so much. And I'll say, Lord, I wish I'd given you more. Yeah. But young person, or maybe not so young, live powerfully for God. Live in such a way that this world doesn't understand it. Live in such a way that they can't explain it. Live in such a way that you rise above the mediocre and you live beyond the ordinary, and you soar into the heavenly realms for God. And if the Lord tarry in 500 years or 1,000 years, they will remember you. And they will write about you, so-and-so walked by faith. And gave to God all that they had. And God took them and used them in a way that they could never imagine. Huh? My time is gone. He gave spiritually, biblically, significantly, expectantly, powerfully, finally, he gave sacrificially. I'm not thinking so much about the wee lamb. It was a sacrifice, of course. That's not really what I have in mind. It's the fact that Abel did what was right. He did what was godly. He exercised spiritual faith.
cost him his life. He gave sacrificially. Abel was the first martyr. He was killed because of his faithfulness to God. His brother didn't like it. His brother was angry that his offering wasn't acceptable and Abel's was. And somewhere, somehow, Cain murdered him. Killed for his faithfulness to God. You know, often when things go wrong, the devil whispers, "You must be a very bad person." And we say to ourselves, "I must have done something wrong to displease God, that he would treat me in such a way." I wonder if I'm a Christian at all. Look what's happened to me. Talk to Job. Will you? Job was a righteous man. And he found himself in a spiritual battle that robbed him of his finances, his fitness, and his family. All in a matter of hours. He had done nothing wrong. And here Abel, in our first example of the heroes of the faith, Abel did which was right, did what was godly, did what was faithful, and he pays for it with his life. Listen, Abel had a faith worth dying for. Abel had a faith worth dying for. How much do we give to God as we walk by faith? Our message this morning, very simple. We give spiritually. We give by faith. We give biblically, obeying God's word. We give significantly. He gave a lamb. He gave that which God commanded. He gave expectantly. He got an inner assurance of things right with God. He gave powerfully. It still speaks to us today. And he gave sacrificially. It cost him his life. How would you give to God this morning? I don't care how much you put in the box. That's Wesley's problem. He's the treasurer. Not my concern. Not in the least bit worried. This fellowship gives well. But I am looking for a fresh surrender. I am looking for a joyful generosity. I am looking for faithful service. That there will be men and women like Abel who will blaze a trail for God. Even if it costs them their own life. What a challenge. Living by faith affects how we give to God. Tonight in our gospel meeting, I'm going to ask, is it intellectually viable to believe in Jesus in an unbelieving world? That's my subject tonight. Is it intellectually viable to believe in Jesus in an unbelieving world? May God bless his word.